Blog Talk Radio.
With the foes and the moes, walk to the store for the rolls, talking straightforward to got Uncle Zach smoking, some for blow up they nose to cope with their lows. The wind is cold and it blows in they socks and they souls, told in they rolls. Corners leave souls opened and closed, hoping for more, but nowhere to go. Rolling it droves, they shoot the wrong way, cause they ain't knowing they go. The street ain't safe, cause they ain't knowing the cold. By the foes, I was told, either focus or fold. Got cousins with clothes, hope they open some doors. So we can not close and roll in a roll. Now I roll in the O's with windows that don't roll. Down the roads with cars get broken and sold. These are the stories told by Stony and Cottage Grove. The world is cold, the block is hot as a stove. On the corner,
I wish I could keep it spinning. I wish I could keep it spinning.
Peace. All power to the people. Welcome once again to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Higgins. It's good to be back on the air. I want to preface this show first of all, and welcome back everyone. I know I've been gone a while. But I want to preface this show with a message because with the subject matter of this show tonight is something that has been severely overlooked in our community, and whitewashed, if you will. And that subject tonight is violence against women of color, particularly women in our community and throughout America and throughout the world landscape as well. And the reason why I'm discussing this, why this topic is up for discussion, and again, all are welcome to join us in our conversation tonight on the surge of violence against women of color in our community. Excuse me. And the reason why we're focused on this is because of the most recent example of sheer terrorism and violence of black women and babies. And the reason why this is so sensitive to me is because it's so close to home. Because recently in my beloved city of Chicago, a woman was shot while she was holding her baby, and the baby was shot as well. And this is life and death in America, in my beloved Chicago. So that's the reason why we're discussing this tonight, among many other. There will be. I'll share many more examples of treacherous violence against women of color in our community and around the world. It's rather disturbing, and it's really, really not talked about. So we want to, again, all are welcome to join us in our discussion tonight on this particular topic. And I know I'm going to try not to be so graphic. You've been following this show, you know how graphic we can get and how uncompromising we can be on the Panther Party Radio Network as far as our goals and subject matters that are discussed on these airwaves, on this particular podcast and on the other shows on this network, with uncompromising and so unwilling to relinquish any kind of, so unwilling to relinquish any kind of injustice. Maybe I said that wrong, but the point is we here in the empowerment zone, we want to let everyone know that we are so focused on and in the various subject matters that are discussed on these airwaves, we get so many impassioned opinions. We share so many impassioned opinions, and we also, from everyone that follows and joins us and calls in, we get so many various opinions that matter, that really matter. So we have to continue to point out these various pertinent matters in our community and continue to discuss them and put these issues under the microscope and include them in the overall spectrum of our plight. So with that said, we get the particulars out of the way. If you would like to join us in access to the Empowerment Zone and the other shows on our network, you can reach out to us at the thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. That's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Again, welcome to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Higgins. Peace to everyone out there listening in podcast land. All power to the people. Respect. Respect to everyone. Again, if you've been following this show, and I know who you are, all my drivers out there, all my coworkers, everyone out there that's been loyal, thank you so much for hanging with us and participating. We really, really appreciate, greatly appreciate everything. And we know, and we also know and are committed to our purpose. And our purpose is rooted in the people. That's you and me. That's us, the people. And we are so committed in this struggle. And we're also so committed in providing critical and pertinent information on issues that matter to us. I know I've been gone for a while. Been really busy. My goofy work schedule, my career has taken me in another direction. Change of seasons and things of that nature. And moving forward, progressing, trying to work for myself and not, contracting myself out, not working for the man. Again, you've been following this show. You understand the five premises of this particular program, the Empowerment Zone, which are solely, again, our purpose is rooted in the people, and the premises of this show are solely based on that purpose. We can all do our part. We can all do our part as far as really making a difference, a marked difference, or market, if you will, market difference, and creating a ripple effect by just having a conversation that can have a ripple effect. By sending an email, by getting out there on the street and talking to the people, asking, witnessing, being about that life. If you're truly committed to being revolutionary, if you're truly committed to the upliftment of the people, you know that we are truly rooted in our purpose is rooted in the people, and we can't go anywhere until we take care of ourselves. And we have, we used to have these morals and this sense of morality has now, in my estimation, has been so decayed. They talk about the moral fabric of this country. This country's never had a moral fabric, but I'm talking about the natural morality that you were raised with, the standards that you were raised with, that we were raised with, compared to now. And I'm not going to start with the blame game or anything like that, talking about the youth and how they don't do this and do that and they're not this and they're not like we were. No, not going to do that, because that's counterproductive. When the simple fact is, we need the youth. in this struggle, we need the youth. We need their input. We need their energy. We need their fire. We need their legs. Because I know I'm too damn old to be out there running with the torch like that. But I know my role as an advisor, as an OG, as they say, old head or whatever, that can provide critical information and wisdom. I know my role. And again, those of us, my generation, we don't have the legs that they do. We don't have that fire. And with that said, activism, being proactive, being prepared, being financially responsible, building up the community, volunteering, boycotting. Remember, again, you've been following this show. You know that Tuesday is Blackout Tuesday in the zone. And we recognize and patronize black businesses only on Tuesdays. An example, number 381, 381 days of strike in Montgomery bus system, and it worked, and it changed everything. So imagine what a mass boycott could do right now. And I'm not going to go into the particulars and the common sense thing about paying your bills and paying your car notes and keeping your lights on and all that shit. Yeah, we know we got to pay the man to do that. All that other frivolous stuff. Well, I'm not saying frivolous, but all that other stuff, tangible items, I shouldn't say frivolous, I should say tangible. All those tangible items that you need that we don't produce as a people, but we do have several black-owned, black and minority-owned businesses that could use your patronage, particularly on Tuesdays, which is a slow shopping day. Like Mondays. And also, Tuesday is the day before the sales, the weekly sales go out. So that's why we choose Tuesday. We call it Blackout Tuesday to boycott. And patronize. Use your common sense. Patronize black minority business, wherever you are, on that day, today. And remember, every Tuesday is Blackout Tuesday here in the Empowerment Zone. So recognize and patronize black and minority businesses on Tuesday. With that said, again, phone lines are open. You want to reach out? You have something to say? You want to offer an opinion? You have a question? Number to reach us is 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. Press 1 to enter the host queue. I'll see your number. And when I'm ready, I'll open your mic. And in the Empowerment Zone, we practice the Roberts Rule of Order, which is when you're done with your statement, be respectful and just yield your time. And then I'll close your mic, or perhaps I'll comment or let someone else comment. If there's other callers on the line, or respond to your comment or respond to your statement. But as always, we ask in the Empowerment Zone that you respect the Roberts Rule of Order and you respect the other guests. Number to reach us is 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. 205-5538. Just press 1, and you will be entered into the host queue. Again, tonight we are discussing, and again, all are welcome. Please join us in our conversation tonight on a serious, such a serious subject that it can no longer be denied. And I'm going to give you some examples, some graphic examples, and I'm going to try to remain as tame as possible. Unfortunately, some of these details are rather graphic, but it has to be described in order to make the point. And of course, it's a rather disturbing and graphic subject matter, as you can all imagine, violence against women, particularly women of color, particularly violence from us, towards us. And the blasé faire attitude towards violence against women, how it's been satirized or used in satirically, stereotypically, if you will, with simple term, everyday terms, bitch slap. That's one example. You got kids in the room, first time they ever heard that, or maybe not. Yeah, terms that you probably find in the Urban Dictionary. Bitch slap. That's basically from a pimp. A pimp bitch slaps. No? Another example, trying to be as tame as possible before I go on to tangent, because I really want to get this out. But another example of how blasé and how stereotypical violence against women is. Oh, I almost didn't turn that right. Another example is in the workplace, particularly in the military. And me being veteran, Navy veteran, know a lot of stuff about military and traditions, and I was involved in a lot of that bullshit. Some regrets I got, some I don't, a lot I don't, and overall, I'm glad I did it because I got to see the world. However, this example is from the military, and it's a marching cadence call that started in 1976. This was a couple of years before I enlisted. So you understand now the culture. Because I was in Reagan's Navy. I was in Bush's Navy. Yeah, man. So the culture then, the misogynistic culture then, still exists today. So, again, the example that I'm going to use, I have to find it. Bear with me here, please. The example that I'm going to use is, again, a military cadence call, a military marching cadence call that's been around since 1976. And it's not easy, bear with me 1 second here because I can pull it up here in just a minute. It's not very flattering, and it's something so typical. I know when I was in the Navy, there were how's it go? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a nigga by the toe, that kind of thing. I was quite aware of that thing that was going on, that type of thing, and those types of aggressions. And it was very uncomfortable and very, very racist, to say the least. But one of the examples that I want to use is this particular cadence call, and I'm having some difficulty finding it. If you please bear with me here, because I can pull this up momentarily, and I know I had. Let's proceed, because one of the examples, another example of how we see violence against women as, you know, so passe, is because of the history and how there's basically been nothing done about violence against women. Even after the 1994 crime bill that included violence against women, in the 1994 crime bill that time President Bill Clinton signed, ironically 1994 crime bill with the provisions for women, crimes against women, was the same year of the OJ debacle. I said ironically, it was the same year for a reason. So with that said, that's another example, and I'm sorry I'm having difficulty pulling up this one particular example. However, a couple of examples of how blasé violence towards women is. Not just in the military, not just in the pimp game, and not just at home, not just with the wife and the girlfriend, but also in the workplace. And what I mean by in the workplace, I don't mean just women, men and women in the workplace, like in an office space or something like that. But I mean as well as, example, women's prisons. That's a workplace for the COs, the male and female COs. That's a workplace. And I'm going to ask a question, because I'm going to give, there's a few more examples, and later I'm going to ask a question as to when is it acceptable and justified, and when is it justifiable for woman-on-woman violence in the workplace, in the military, at home, on the street, within this whole spectrum of violence against women of color. And essentially, I guess that's what my question is, because it seems to be acceptable when women jump on each other. I remember the Dave Chappelle show, the sketch that he did where a woman was talking shit, or someone called her phone. She was like, "I don't like nobody playing on my phone." Next thing you know, she ends up in jail because the car that she vandalized was a Fed car, and she ends up in prison, and then she got her ass whooped by a dominant black female while she was trying, while she indeed was trying to establish dominance, because she had heard that that's what you're supposed to do when you go to jail. So she talks shit to the biggest black woman in jail, and she got her ass beat. And that's perceived as acceptable behavior. The stereotype, in my opinion, it's acceptable. So my question is it more acceptable when women call, when women endure violence from other women? Is that more acceptable than when men? That's my question tonight. And I ask you to ponder that. And again, call in and tell me what you think. 914-205-5538 is the number. I got questions, man, because I'm seeing so much violence against women, particularly, I mean, people, you know, since this, since the world opened up again and post-pandemic, or not post-pandemic, but, you know, how they opened up everything. Now America's open again. The world's open up again, except for some places now. See, Colorado's got no more ICU beds, just like West Virginia. So I don't know what the fuck going on. There's some serious misinformation. And there's people still dying from this shit. We don't know if it's from a spike, you know, the back to school shit and people not getting vaccinated and people that have underlying conditions, you know, pre-existing respiratory issues, whatever the case may be. There's still people dying. That's the stark reality of this whole pandemic shit. But what my point is, since this pandemic started, people have lost their fucking mind and there's been so much violence against women. Out of control. Another example of violence in the workplace. Police beating up and killing women. Breaks my heart to have to remind y'all, Sandra Bland, rest in peace, Sister Bland. Violence against a black woman. And she was a visitor. She was a tourist. She was working. Girl from Chicago. Goes down to Texas and gets murdered. And the alarming rate of prosecutions of workplace and the alarming rate of part, let me calm down there because this is really disturbing. The alarming rate of workplace and the alarming rate of prosecutions from murders and killings is so fractional in comparison to the actual number of bodies piled up, for God's sake. It's a fucking fraction. People being prosecuted in jail for killing black women, for killing women of color. So again, my question is, when is it acceptable? How much is acceptable? At what part is it acceptable and justified? Violence against one another. Violence against women in the workplace. Violence against women incarcerated. Violence against women in the military. Violence against women at home. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the workplace violence. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention in the workplace violence portion servers from bartenders to strippers to waitresses that get assaulted daily somewhere in America. A server, a woman of color, will be assaulted tonight. I hate to put it in the ethers, but it's just a natural fact. I see it. I see cashiers, bartenders, waitresses get harassed all the time. I've had to intervene. I've had to literally intervene and get between a cashier or a bartender and a guest because the guest was out of line and bombarding my server or my bartender or my, excuse me, or my cashier, bombarding them with racial epithets and cuss words. And being so arrogant and condescending in the guise of the customer is always right. Fuck out of here with that shit. So I'm just using that as an example and including workplace violence in the spectrum of violence against women everywhere. And not just in America. I'm talking about the world landscape as well, because there's some shit that you're not going to see on ABC Evening News about what's going on over there where those wealthy people vacation in the land of sand. Let's just say Dubai, Yemen, those areas. Where women ain't shit, especially a black woman. I've been over there. I see how they treat women. The fact that the Saudi prince that had recently, I need to be careful what I say regarding those people, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a fact that's not rumor or anything like that. But the Saudi prince recently authorized getting driver's licenses, so women are driving over there now. But before then, and even then, I mean, even now, women are being over there being just for driving. You know, being pulled over by the police and harassed and shit just for having a driver's license. Yeah, there's still, and that's just another example of aggression and violence towards women. Because I just saw something recently about, particularly about a woman that had recently gotten her driver's license, and shortly thereafter, she had been apprehended. I'm reading something that someone just sent me. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Looking forward to it. Recently saw that where this woman had been apprehended and taken and arrested, essentially arrested. Because of her driving status. Because I guess in that part of their land, that part of the country, they hadn't gotten word that women had been allowed driver's licenses. Imagine that. So, again, another example. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, for real, we're going to take a short break. But when we come back, we're going to proceed in this topic, and again the question stands: how much violence is acceptable and justifiable when it comes to us and all the stereotypes and perceptions, because it seems to be so acceptable and it's so justified when we do it towards each other. And of course, when they do it to us, it's absolutely justified. And we're going to talk about the asshole bitch made punk bitch Kyle Rittenhouse house, whatever the fuck that whole name is. We're going to talk about that case and the stupid ass judge in that case. And yeah, I said it. I'm going to pull up his name because I don't remember this asshole's name, but we're going to discuss that too. And then after the break, we're also going to discuss the great Angela Davis and what she had to offer as a keynote speaker. Recently, she was a keynote speaker at the Institute for Women's Policy Research. She had a plethora of pertinent information and perspective to offer, and we're going to discuss that as well. And with that said, again, the question stands, how much is acceptable in the perception of violence against our women and women of color, minorities, and I want to know what you think. 914-205-5538 is the number to call. You know the rules. Let's go. We're going to take a short break. And again, like I said, we're going to proceed with this because I really think, this is a topic that I would really like to delve into and make perhaps even discuss it on our next installment, because it's been something that's been so overlooked and again so goddamn looked at so blasé fair and acceptable, and to me it's not, and it's got to stop. Got to stop, because the way we raise it, it's just got to stop. There's just too much violence, too much killing. I was alone. Before we go to break, I'm going to offer this. When I woke up to the news that morning and saw that mother and baby had been shot just standing in front of their fucking house on the south side, it just ripped my guts out. I ain't had my coffee yet, and it just ripped my fucking guts out. I lost the taste for everything. I didn't drink coffee that morning. And that's why we're having this discussion tonight. Because enough's enough, man. We can't continue. We got to do better, y'all. We got to do better. You know, it's so bad. It's so bad right now. And we must do better. Can we do better? I know we can. We've overcome so much. We can do better than this. We got to do better than this. These are the women that raise us. These are the women that bore us. And we got no respect. No respect. And you can't. You're listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. We'll be back in a minute. Peace.
Oh, mercy me. Oh, they used to be now? Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Our things ain't what they used to be now. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby our sight. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from men? Can't you stand?
It's unfortunate that we even have to say Black Lives Matter. I mean, if you go through history, nobody ever gave a fuck. I mean, you can kill black people in the street. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody goes to prison. But when I say Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, that's like if I was to say Gay Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter. If I said Women's Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, you're diluting what I'm saying. You're diluting the issue. The issue isn't about everybody. It's about black lives at the moment. But the truth of the matter is, they don't really give a fuck about anybody if you break the shit all the way down to the low fucking dirty ass truth.
We say that black lives matter, when truthfully they really never have. No one ever really gave a fuck. Just read your books and history books. But honestly, it ain't just black. We realize we're all on the same.
cause they know they got lawyers. They know they'll sue their ass. They can tell who to fuck with. Unfortunately, black or brown skin is always meant for. They profiling you, kid. They know you can't fight back, but we about to.
Investigators say they are reviewing body camera and dash cam video of Tuesday's shooting. Police say that Keith Lamont Scott did have a gun in his hand when an officer shot him. A new picture of the scene shows something at Scott's feet. A source tells our Charlotte affiliate it may be a gun, but people in the neighborhood say that the father of four was holding a book instead.
Officer Vincent was in plain clothes when the shooting happened, and he was not wearing a body-worn camera, but we are told that three other officers were there. The department is under increasing pressure to release police videos from the shooting, but the police chief said they will not do that right now because of the investigation.
Don't fall for the bait and switch! Racism is real, but not it! They fuck whoever can't fight back! But now we gotta change all that! The people have had enough! Right now it's them against us! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor, no lives matter! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor, no lives matter! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor, no lives matter!
All right, peace. All powerful to the people. Welcome back to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Higgins, and I totally agree with every sentiment Ice-T just said. Shit is ugly to the core. And when it comes to the poor, no lives matter. But what we're talking about tonight certainly matters, most definitely matters, because what we're talking about tonight is the violence against the women that take care of us, that raise us and take care of us and instill that morality and that sense of decency in us. And the difference between right and wrong, that raise us how they were raised in spite of the abuses and suffering. There's plenty of women out there that survived abuse and raised good sons and daughters. But what we're talking about tonight, what we're trying to do here in the Empowerment Zone, is to put an end to violence against women. So my question is, again, as we discussed before the break, the question still stands. Is it acceptable in our perception of violence towards women? Is it acceptable? Because in the mass media, it seems to be justified. All black women are crazy. They're animals. Can't satisfy them. All Latina women, fucking crazy as fuck, psycho. Can't trust them. Cuts penis off. Revengeful. Mannish. Same attributes as a man, but 10 times that because they're a woman. Those perceptions are what lead to certain violence, certain acceptable violence, if you will, towards these women. So I want to dash those perceptions by saying that, remember, these are the same women that bore us, that raised us. In spite of their suffering, they managed to raise some pretty decent people. Let me reiterate. These women that suffer at the hands of man, were once little girls. Think about that.
So as I discussed in the opening, a number of examples, and in my efforts to give a description of some of the accepted practices in the workplace, in the military, in on the street, and in the home domestically. Again, those perceptions, and or rather those practices, are so common, particularly in the military, and I find this rather disturbing. And considering that I have 3 daughters that are all active duty as we speak, stationed throughout the country, it's rather disturbing to see this kind of thing. I'm going to read you something, and then maybe you can relate. Carol Burke, a civilian teaching in the U.S. Naval Academy, argues that sadomasochistic cadence calls have increased since women entered the Brigade of Midshipmen in 1976. She quotes military songs that are so cruelly pornographic that I would feel uncomfortable quoting them in public. But let me give you one comparatively less offensive example. Here's example number one regarding military, women in the military. The ugliest girl I ever did see was beating her face against a tree. I picked her up. I punched her twice. She said, "Oh, Mitty, you're much too nice," end quote. If we can see that something about training structures and the operations that are expected to carry out makes men just, and perhaps also women in these institutions, more likely to engage in violence within their intimate relationships, why then is it so difficult to develop an analysis of violence against women that takes the violence of the state into account? And that's just what I'm talking about. That's just one example of what I've been talking about in the workplace, in the military, at the crib, on the street. It occurs everywhere. And it's become so mundane, so passe. And like Ice-T said in the song during the break, the people have had enough. Have you? Here's my question. Have you had enough? Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Good looking out, man. I'll call you after the show. Right on, man. Thank you. So with that said, have you had enough? Because I certainly have. I've seen so many examples. Just 48 hours ago, I had to intervene in a man, between a man and a woman that was having, should I say, a political or social argument. And I was at work. But this gentleman had been under the influence, I'll just say. And his argument was with, well, what seemed to be an argument, which had began as a discussion about unemployment and people going back to work, ended up being a shouting match and this man getting in this woman's face. I mean, within 6 inches of her face. And I'm just using that as an example of how at the hands of, It's not isolated. Although this was an isolated incident, it falls in line with the current environment with aggression towards women in the workplace, in the military, within the police department, within the halls of Congress. We're seeing examples. So, because on January 6th, didn't they want to kill Nancy Pelosi? Just saying. Perpetuating violence against women throughout this country and in the world landscape, has grown to an alarming rate. And my question is, because in my opinion, it seems acceptable. This aggression is acceptable, even when women perpetuate violence against other women. Again, example, let's say a women's prison. So many women have been violated in these prisons by other women. Is that acceptable? Is that justifiable? Because they're inmates? They don't have unalienable rights as human beings, unalienable rights as Americans, just because they're under a criminal statute, because they're rather under a criminal status, because they're doing time, they're doing a bid. They don't have any rights. So you can perpetuate whatever aggression you want towards them, and it's acceptable. Apparently, sadly. So again, the question is, how much of it is acceptable for men? I mean, is there a difference? When a man does it, it's bad. Of course, absolutely. Never supposed to put your hands on a woman as a man. You're not a man. Under any circumstances. Unless observing your unalienable rights to defend yourself from man, woman, child, or beast in the threat of danger. Self-defense. To whatever degree you have right to defend yourself, anyone. How much of it is acceptable when a woman does it to another woman? Because that seems to be the case. That seems to be the perception that it's okay. That seems to be the perception that if a pimp slaps one of his hoes, it's all right. She just got bitch slapped. She had it coming. She didn't have that nigga's money. The wife or girlfriend gets backhanded because she might have been nagging or something. That's acceptable. Even with the 1994 crime bill, with the women's violence against women's provision, still, you had an uptick in the last 10 years of violence against women that completely shits on the theory that was the theory based on in the crime bill in the provisions of violence against women in 1994. Ironically, same year as the OJ shit. I'm just saying. Big time increase in violence, and it doesn't matter what that crime bill says. And yeah, we can laugh about it. I've even heard another example of how acceptable it is. They make jokes about OJ and Nicole Simpson. It's passé now. too many examples. And again, my question is, when is it going to stop? We got to talk about this because these are the women that raise us, man. These are our mothers, our grandmothers, our aunties, our sisters, our daughters, for God's sake. Violence against women in the military. Increasing. Another young woman in the United States Marine Corps was murdered over the summer. You hear about that shit in the news. But her family is grieving and suing the Department of Defense and the U.S. government. And they're suing the Fed because they're saying that, I mean, she was obviously murdered, but they're saying that she committed suicide. It's unfathomable. Too many examples. Give me another example of how blasé many of us really take for granted that this misogynistic violence is a legitimate political issue. But let's remember that a little more than just two decades ago, most people considered domestic violence to be a private concern, thus not a proper subject of public discourse or political intervention. I wonder why that is. Maybe that's because so many men were engaged in that misogynistic practice at home and in the workplace and in the military that it had that kind of consideration to be a private concern and thus not a proper subject of public discourse or political intervention? Really? So it took Hollywood, it took a Hollywood pedophile rapist to uncover what's been going on, the practices and traditions that have been established for so long in the workplace. It took that. It took Harvey Weinstein. It took Bill Cosby to uncover all this bullshit. Never mind the murders of Sandra Bland or Angelica Hernandez at Fort Hood in Texas. Never mind Letitia Blackman that got killed in her tent over in Iraq. Real talk. Not only, they said that she committed suicide too. And she was obvious. There was no evidence. The evidence was so messed up on her rape. She was obviously raped. They poured liquid plumber. They put liquid plumber in her vagina. Think about that. Those are the links. When is enough enough? I think about that shit. Because, again, I got daughters that are active duty. That are surrounded by men that don't want them there. That are surrounded by men that are so angry that they could so easily subdue one of these women and do whatever they want to do and get away with it because it's common practice and it's tradition. That's why we're talking about this tonight. Again, another example. Too many women are subjected to unnecessary violence at the hands of men that have an inferiority complex, that have that Napoleon complex, you know, that little motherfucker that just cannot stand a woman that's an inch taller than him to have any kind of feelings or opinion that doesn't fall in line with his and his perception of what a fucking woman supposed to be. Those kind of guys. The kind of motherfuckers that drive by in a goddamn car from a passenger seat and shoot a woman standing in front of her house with her baby. Those kind of motherfuckers. The kind of guys that harass women at work, that harass waitresses and bartenders and receptionists at work daily and get no kind of and suffer no repercussions while these women suffer in anguish. While these women contemplate suicide at home, unbeknownst to these motherfuckers that are harassing them and giving them so much shit and threatening them, unbeknownst to them, they're creating an environment of anguish, contempt, and terror because of their fucking complexes, because of their fucking traditions. And it's coming from a man. I've seen this happen. I watch this shit every day. Well, in the workplace at least. Not every day. I don't work every day, obviously, but just saying. I see this all the time. And it's uncomfortable. And I'm tired of having to go to rescue women that are being public persecution and verbal floggings. It's not right. I'd be damned if a motherfucker talk to my woman, my daughter, my sister, my mother, anybody. Friend, I wouldn't give a damn if it was my homeboy. You don't talk to people disrespectfully like that. You don't get in somebody's face screaming, practically spitting at them. You don't demand that someone do what you say, predicated on the fact that you're a fucking man? No, man. That's not right. You want a motherfucker like that around your daughter? Your niece? Your sister? I think not. That's why we're talking about this. Because it's got to stop. So many examples. Where great Angela Davis, again, was a keynote speaker at this conference, and she had a lot of pertinent things to say. She related a story of one time when she was living in California, and she was driving down the highway, and there was a black woman hitchhiking. So she and her friend that was driving, Angela was the passenger, respect to Queen Angela Davis. Angela Davis was the passenger. Her friend pulled over and picked up this lone black woman hitchhiker, and she was completely disheveled, crying uncontrollably, just completely hysterical. By the time they were able to get her to communicate, she had described that she had, like I said, she was disheveled and just uncontrollably hysterical. And by the time she was able to communicate, she had just detailed to them that she had been raped and she had been raped twice within a matter of hours. First, she had been raped by some Latino men, she said. And then as she was, and they dumped her on the highway. And then as she was, as she flagged down the police or sheriff's deputies that were going down the highway, this occurred in San Diego, California, 1969, she said. 1969, San Diego. As she flagged down the police pulled over. And what she assumed was them rescuing her, these two white cops proceeded to rape her over a number of hours and then dumped her on the highway where Angela Davis and her friend had picked her up. Her input and her impact, rather, on the struggle and the movement, and not just the feminist movement, but you know, with her, I'm speaking of the great Angela Davis. I'm speaking of her impact and what she brings to the table. I mean, the stories that she can relate, and her again, and her impact not just to the party. But society overall, in her activism, cannot be overlooked, and she's been highly lauded, deservedly so. However, that story that she related with this woman being raped over a number of hours twice, not just by some potential migrants or whatever, on the highways of California, but by the police. 50 years ago. So these traditions and practices continue. And the motherfuckers that perpetuate this shit persist in their staunch opinions about women and their positions and where they belong. And the justification of violence has been completely just so, it's out of control. Out of control, and the spike in violence amongst women is another debatable topic that on the next show, because we're going to make this is going to be a two-part effort in order to convey to y'all how important it is that we stop and start talking about this and just stop. I mean, Sandra Bland wasn't a wake-up call. They're making songs about, instead of a wet-ass pussy song, I'd rather hear a song about Sandra Bland, the injustice to Sandra Bland, the injustice to Lakia Boyd. Make a movie about that. Make a video, make a documentary about the injustices to Latonya Hawkins. We got to do something to bring this to light, because this is unacceptable and it can't continue. Again, I'm using just 48 hours ago an example of how I had to intervene, because I knew that this guy that had been drinking too much, that had been drinking all day, that got it within 6 inches of this woman in her face, and he turned it into an argument that was basically a discussion about unemployment, got in her face. And I know, had I not intervened, he would have stepped even closer and perhaps even put his hands on her. Because I saw the arrogance and the condescend. And again, he had been sitting there drinking. I've been watching this motherfucker drink all day. So, with that said, this is why we're having this discussion tonight. And this is why this apparently is going to be a two-part installment, because I really want to convey how important it is for us to put the brakes, pump the brakes, not just pump them, but slam the brakes on this. And unfortunately, no, it's not going to happen overnight, because I live in Chirac. And I know that tonight there's going to be some woman, young or old. I didn't even give you the example of last week, an 81-year-old woman was attacked on public transportation in Chicago. Coming from church or going to church and got attacked on a Sunday. So young or old, this violence perpetuated against women is just too much to bear. It's frightening, the startling, the alarming rate that this is happening. And even in my beloved city that I bled in, I can't tell y'all, if you ain't from Chicago, you just don't understand how special this place is. And the civic pride that the people here have. And in the surrounding area, the people in the Northwest Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, even as far down as St. Louis, genuflect towards Chicago because of how special this place is. And to see its decay and the trueness, I don't know, that's not a real word, but the true identity of this city decaying at such a rate and at the expense of the people, it's heartbreaking, because I love my city. I'd go anywhere in this city and feel comfortable around the people. Most places I can go and feel comfortable. I'm more uncomfortable with the police. I'm more uncomfortable with police more than I am with these niggas that I know have no regard for my life. But still, I'm just showing you, just explain to you the level of comfort that I have in my beloved city. I don't feel, and I know it's unlike anywhere else on the planet. I'm just saying, please excuse me, that I'm seeing so much violence towards women in my beloved city that it's heartbreaking, and we got to do something about it. We can do better. We got to do better. Can't we do better? We got to do better. We've been through so much shit. We've overcome so much other shit. And I believe it's going to happen. We're going to get together, right? We're going to get together. It's not going to happen overnight. And I know, again, tonight, there's going to be some violence perpetuated against a woman, young or old, in my beloved city, and somewhere around this country, and somewhere around the world. Right now, it's happening. Some woman is being violated, and it's got to stop. And as a real man, you step the fuck up when you see it, when you know something. Otherwise, you're just complicit. And you helping to perpetuate the perception and the stereotypes and the practice and the traditions. Yep, you. I'm talking to you. I know I'm doing something. What are you going to do? And again, the question is, how much of this is acceptable? Women perpetuating violence against each other, black woman on black woman, Latina on Latina, whatever, in the penitentiary, on the street. Is that okay? We got videos all on Facebook of black folks fighting in the parking lot of Walmart or whatever, getting a million likes. People love that Springer. People got that love that Springer type shit. Videos popping up all over the place. I had to tell this dude, stop sending me these videos of ignorant-ass people fighting in the parking lot or on the street at a cookout or something. I don't want to see that shit. That shit breaks my fucking heart to see 14-year-olds beating on each other. But what? That's not hot. That's not sexy. I don't get no thrill from that. Do you? If you do, then I'm talking to you about perpetuating this perception, these traditions, and these practices. It's got to stop. So my question is, how much of it is acceptable and how much is justified? I got questions. I need answers. Again, I know it's not going to happen overnight. However, we're going to keep on addressing this because I guarantee you by the time our next show airs, I'll be able to give you some more examples. And that's fucked up. But it is what it is. I know that sounds so cavalier when I say it is what it is. But that's just an example of how blasé people feel about violence against women. Just using that as an example. That's clearly not how I feel. I don't mince my words when I say that I've had enough. I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of intervening. I'm tired of giving examples. And I'm sure you've seen. You may even be guilty of some of the examples that I've shown you tonight. And if you are, then I'm definitely talking about you and encouraging you to call in. Got 30 minutes. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to open up the phone lines. And you're more than welcome to call in because, again, I got questions that need answering. And I think they're pertinent questions. And I need some concrete, intelligible answers as to what to do. Because I feel like I'm not reaching anybody. And I know I got my followers, you know, call in. I know you listen to the shows. If you're on the road right now, call me, y'all. But when we come back from the break, I'm going to open the phone lines and we can have this discussion because again, this has to be addressed. You're listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Number to reach us is 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. Just key 1, and you'll be entered into the host queue, and I'll open up your mic, and perhaps you can answer one of my questions. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
first things first, rest in peace, sucker fair. For real, you the only father that I ever knew. I get my bitch pregnant, I'ma be a better you. Prophecies that I made way back in the veil. Fulfill. Listen, even back when we was broke, my team ill. Martin Luther King would've been on Dreamville. Talk to her, nigga. One time for my L.A. sisters. One time for my L.A. hoes. Lame niggas can't tell the difference. One time for a nigga who knows.
Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved.
No role models and I'm here right now. No role models to speak of. Searching through my memory, I couldn't find one. Last night I was getting my feet rubbed by the baddest bitch. Not Trina, but I swear to God this bitch will make you call your girl up and tell her, hey, what's good? Sorry, I'm never coming home, I'ma stay for good. Then hang the phone up and proceed to lay the wood. I came fast like 911 in white neighborhoods. Ain't got no shame about it. She think I'm spoiled and I'm rich cause I can have any bitch. I got defensive and said, nah, I was the same without it. But then I thought back to a better me. Before I was a B-list celebrity, before I started calling bitches so heavily. Back when you could get a platinum plaque without no melody, you wasn't sweating me. One time for my L.A. sisters, one time for my L.A. hoes. Lame niggas can't tell the difference. One time for a nigga who knows.
Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved.
I want a real love, dark skin and Aunt Viv love. That Jada in that weird love. That leave a toothbrush at your crib, love. And you ain't gotta wonder whether that's your kid, love. Nigga, I don't want no bitch from reality shows. Out of touch with reality hoes. Out in Hollywood, bringing back 5 or 6 hoes. Fuck them, then we kick them to the door. Nigga, you know how it goes. She deserve that. She a bird, it's a bird trap. You think if I didn't rap, she would flirt back. Taking off a skirt, let her wear my shirt. But she leave, I'ma need my shirt back.
Nigga, you know how it goes.
One time for my L.A. sisters. One time for my L.A. hoes. Lame niggas can't tell the difference. One time for a nigga who knows.
Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. It fooled me, we can't get fooled again.
Fool me one time, shame on you. Fool me twice, can't put the blame on you. Fool me 3 times, fuck the peace sign. Load the chopper, let it rain on you. Fool me one time, shame on you. Fool me twice, can't put the blame on you. Fool me 3 times, fuck the peace sign. Load the chopper, let it rain on you. My only regret was too young for Lisa Bonet. My only regret was too young for me alone. Now all I'm left with is hoes from reality shows. Handed a script, the bitch probably couldn't read alone. My only regret was too young for Sade Adu. My only regret could never take Aaliyah home. Now all I'm left with is hoes up in Greystone. With the stale face cause they know it's they song. She shallow with the pussy, she
shallow. She shallow.
She shallow with the pussy,
she shallow. She shallow.
She shallow with the pussy,
she shallow. She shallow.
She shallow with the pussy,
she shallow. Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. 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 Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved.
If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and if you ain't gonna do no revolutionary act, forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not gonna work for the people. Like we always said, if you actually make a commitment at the age of 20, and you say, I don't want to make that commitment only because of the simple reason that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer, what you did, you're dead already. You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to repeat after me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to stay. I believe that I'm going to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from slipping on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm going to die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm going to die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die what I was in the thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the people. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary proletarian struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international proletarian revolutionary struggle and then be able to live in it. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?
Welcome back to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Excuse me. Tonight we've been discussing the alarming uptick, if you will, in violence against women recently and the environment that perpetuates, the environment that perpetuates the overall traditions, practices and attitudes, if you will, against women, particularly women of color, whether it be in the workplace, school, military, and domestically as well. I'm going to share something with you that I think is really pertinent. And I hope that I'm sure that all of those listening can relate to this and have seen or perhaps even experienced some of these far-reaching effects of violence against our women. Excuse me. Black women disproportionately experience violence at home, at school, on the job, and in their neighborhoods. The status of black women in the United States details these many types of violence. Black women face higher rates of intimate partner violence, rape, and homicide. Black girls and women also experience institutionalized racism. They are disproportionately punished in school, funneled into criminal justice systems after surviving physical or sexual abuse, disproportionately subjected to racial profiling and police brutality, and incarcerated at rates far exceeding their share of the population. By drawing on available studies, the report helps lay the foundation necessary for positive change, as we've been discussing tonight, with the hopes that you all can relate to this and perhaps make an effort to be compelled to do something about it, as not to continue to perpetuate violence and stereotypes and practices and traditions that have been going on for many, many years. Example of the data that's been shown. One example is more than 4 in 10 black women experience physical violence from an intimate partner during their lifetimes. White women, Latinas, and Asian
Pacific Islander women report lower rates. Black women also experience significantly higher rates of psychological abuse, including humiliation, insults, name-calling, and coercive control than do women overall. Sexual violence affects black women at high rates. More than 20% of black, this is alarming as fuck. More than 20% of black women are raped during their lifetime, a higher share than among women overall. Black women face a particularly higher risk of being killed at the hands of a man. A 2015 Violence Policy Center study finds that black women were 2.5 times more likely to be murdered by men than their white counterparts. More than 9 in 10 black female victims knew their killers. Racial disparities pervade the educational and criminal justice systems. Black girls are suspended or expelled from public schools at a much higher rate than other girls. School administrators are more apt to perceive black girls as disruptive or loud compared to with other groups of boys and girls. And black girls are more likely to be punished for dress code violations, talking back to teachers, and defiance. Not surprisingly, multiple suspensions and expulsions impede some black girls' educational success. School discipline disparities can also contribute to girls' disproportionate involvement with the criminal justice system. Black girls make up nearly 1/3 of the girls referred to law enforcement and over 40% of girls arrested in connection with a school incident. Far too many black girls' schools lead to imprisonment. Black girls aged 18 to 19 were 4 times more likely to be imprisoned than white girls. Girls and women of color are the fastest growing population in American prisons. Scholars cited in the report ascribe disproportionate incarceration rates to racial disparities in school discipline. War on drugs, quote unquote, war on drugs policies, and other forms of institutionalized racism and sexism. Formerly incarcerated black women experience long-term economic, political, occupational, educational, and physical consequences. The report comprehensively describes the urgent need to prevent violence against black women. That's pretty heavy. Those are some alarming, very alarming statistics that when I first read that, I wasn't shocked. Again, because I see it all the time. Unfortunately, see violence perpetuated against women in the news almost daily. And I just heard gunshots in my neighborhood. Just heard shots. 7 shots. Did you hear that, baby?
Yeah, I heard 8 shots.
Yes, 8 shots. Just heard 8 shots in my neighborhood. So hopefully that wasn't perpetuated. Hopefully no one's harmed. And hopefully that wasn't perpetuated against a woman of color or a woman, period. With that said, again, mics are open. I really hope that I'm getting through. For everyone that scrolls through and listens to various podcasts, welcome to the Empowerment Zone. We here in the zone hope to provide pertinent information. And again, our purpose, if you're just joining us, our purpose is rooted in the people, and we are compelled to honor and respect everyone here in the Empowerment Zone, and all are welcome. And I mean that in my heart of hearts, all are welcome. Unfortunately, I live in Chirac. My beautiful, beautiful city, beloved city, is under siege right now from a blanket of violence, and it's sad and it's unsafe. There's nowhere safe, and it's rather uncomfortable, and it's it's heartbreaking that my beloved city has decayed to such a degree that it's uncomfortable to go anywhere, and to realize that there's no place safe is downright sad and heartbreaking. Again, I know I've been ranting, but I've been trying to get out these statistics and what I consider critical information regarding this subject, because again, it has to stop. These are our daughters, our sisters, our mothers, our grandmothers, our aunts, our friends, our loved ones that are being attacked, assaulted, murdered, raped daily with no accountability. And it's accepted and it's justified by those overwhelming statistics that I just showed, that I just read to you, describing what the perception is of women of color, that we're loud and that they're loud and disruptive and unworthy of educating, or unworthy of respect, or unworthy or unworthy of their unalienable rights. It's unacceptable. The pipeline, the school to prison pipeline in regards to women of color, particularly black girls, 18 and 19 years old. That's unacceptable. It's also unacceptable that there's more black men in penitentiary than in college. And pretty soon that number is increasing with women, with our girls. I got granddaughters that I don't want in prison. So it's so important to address this right now. So the next installment of the Empowerment Zone, there will be a part two, because this is so important. It's so relevant. And again, these are our daughters. These are our mothers, our sisters that are being preyed on, that are being targeted, that are being judged. They're being executed in their homes by people that they know, by supposed loved ones, dying at the hands of their husbands or boyfriends or lovers. I'm seeing a spike in domestic violence amongst lesbians. It's unacceptable. Has to stop. I want to thank everyone that's been listening, everyone that scrolls through podcasts and listens to our shows on the Panther Party Radio Network. Greatly appreciated. I hope that the message that I'm trying to convey gets through and makes you think and compels you. That's what I want. I want this to compel you to do something, to say something, to not stand by, to intervene. You see something, fucking do something. Be fearless. Don't be a coward. Don't be a pussy and defend that woman. No matter what, right or wrong, because no man has the right to put their hands on a woman. No man has the right to threaten or condescend or to make a woman feel uneasy just because of the fact that she's a woman. Hopefully, this will compel you to do something and not sit idly by or make judgment and say something like, oh, she had it coming. Or that bitch is crazy. Nobody deserves that. No, my daughters are married women. They got husbands. I'm sure their husbands think of them as nags sometimes. Overbearing and, you know, yammer, yammer, yammer. That's what all women, that's what our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, that's what they do. They don't give you the right to put your fucking hands on them. With that said, I'm hoping tonight we'll put a spike and hope that this will compel you to do something, again, to stand up, to intervene, to start a conversation, to have a little more respect and less judgment and honor that woman and realize what she's capable of and her power and respect that, not condemn her. Not trying to fuck with her mind and all that kind of madness. That mental empowerment that you just don't do that. That mental abuse shit is just unfathomable. I didn't raise my daughters like that. My daughters never witnessed me beating on their mother. I didn't talk down to her in front of them. Didn't even fight in front of our children. My daughters weren't raised like that. So if they were in a relationship, an abusive relationship, you know goddamn well, that would be something so out of the ordinary for them, whether it be physical or mental. But it's not out of the ordinary. It's norm. It's typical for some women, for a lot of women, that have to endure abuses daily. Again, whether it be in the workplace, at home, on the street, socially. Harassment, assault, battery, rape, murder. Unacceptable. Whole purpose of me doing this show tonight on this topic is because I saw that young woman holding her baby get shot down in a drive-by on the south side. And it just tears your guts out to see some shit like that. In my beloved town, in my beloved city, violence perpetuated against women. And her baby, a little girl. Yeah. Two girls died that day. A baby and her mother, her young mother. And for what? So a motherfucker could have some power. You don't get no stripes for that shit. You're not empowering yourself. Oh, by the way, they got no suspects. Again, crime solving rate in this city is abysmal. And I hate to end the show on that note, but unfortunately I will. Please, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, give a shout out to my man, Carl Phillips, who's struggling right now with stage 4 cancer. I just got word that he's having some real difficulties right now. He's been hospitalized and Carl, hang in there, my man, and be strong and Godspeed, man. You know I love you, bro. And hang in there, man. Be at peace. Be at comfort and peace. And I want everyone listening to offer up a thought and prayer from my man Carl Phillips, Big Slim, as we call him, who's struggling right now with stage 4 cancer. With that said, I really hate to end the show on that note, but I, like I said, I'd be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to my man, Carl Big Slim. Again, I'd like to thank everyone that listens to this particular show and all the shows on our network. Please be careful. Understand that, you are a target out there, and be careful out there on the roads. Watch your back. Keep your eyes and ears open at all time, and just understand that, man, we need each other. We got to come together. We got to do better. We have to do better. We can do better. We got to focus on bringing ourselves together and not let them prosper off our division. We come together, it's game over. So let's get hot on this. Love you all. Peace. All power to the people.
Just 100 years after Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation that freed the slaves, 200,000 people converge on the nation's capital to rally for civil rights. They come by train, they come by bus, and by air. They come from the north, the south, the east, and west. They come united in one cause, to urge Congress to pass...
My brother. black. My arms are long. My hair is woolly. My back is strong. Strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah. Yellow. My hair is long. Between two worlds, I do belong. My father was rich and white. He forced my mother late. What do they call me? My name is Sophronia. My name is Sophronia. My skin is tan. My hair is fine. My hips invite you. My mouth like wine. Whose little girl am I? Anyone has money to buy? What do they call me?